The program's called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, we have in our studios three members, in fact, the three founding members, of an early music vocal ensemble called Gravitacion. We'll let them explain why that name. But they are releasing their second full-length CD, courtesy of First Step Records at Millikan University, where they are the vocal ensemble in residence. And they're having a CD release party and mini-concert tonight in Champaign. We'll hear about that as well. And hear some live performances, as well as some excerpts from that new CD, Gravitacion, coming up on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned. We just heard music by Juan Morel Campos called Beautiful Illusion from a wonderful disc called Alma Latina, the Latin soul of the cello. Emilio Colon was the cellist. Sung Hoon Mo was the pianist on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. And you could easily say that the cello is a particularly vocal instrument. At least it seems so to me. And we have three wonderful vocalists, one of whom, anyway, is kind of in the cello range. From a group called Gravitacion, who are giving a CD release party tonight in Champaign. And that is their second CD, full-length CD, coming out of First Step Records at Millikan University, where they are officially the vocal ensemble in residence.
Yes.
More or less. And we'll explain why I qualified it that way, because they're sort of coming from various parts. And we have three of their four regular members with us right now. Sherazad Pantaki is a very familiar voice and face in Champaign-Urbana anyway, courtesy of a number of different places. I've heard her mostly with the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. But I think it's been a while since you've sung with them.
That's correct.
And, of course, now you've left town altogether.
Yes, indeed.
And Dan Carberg, who is the tenor in the group.
Yes.
And you're at Millikan.
I'm at Millikan, yes. This is my ninth year at Millikan now.
Wow, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And Matthew Lease, who was actually just on this program a week ago today.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, likewise. And is also on faculty at Millikan and a doctoral student at the University of Illinois. And the baritone, and hence the cellist of the group, so to speak, the cello range of the group. And we're missing your countertenor.
We are, Jay Carter. He lives in Kansas City and was unable to be here for the release party.
Well, that's a shame.
It really is. He teaches at William Jewell College, and it's a really busy week for them, so he just couldn't get out of it.
He couldn't just cancel his classes?
Apparently not.
I did. I guess I shouldn't say that on the air.
Well, I'm sure you rescheduled them. That's what
yes.
you meant to say.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, Gravitacion. And sometimes you are actually more than the four of you.
Yes, indeed. For this CD, we have five voices plus Theorba. So the fifth voice in that case is a second soprano, Youngmi Kim, who actually just won a competition yesterday, the William C. Byrd Prize.
Where is that?
I forget.
I believe that's in Michigan.
Flint,
yes.
That's right. It's a Flint-based
competition.
It's about 30 years old. It's a big deal. So she's very happy right at the second in time.
I imagine she is. Congratulations to her, if she's listening.
She may be. And the theorbist that we used, his name is Michel Anger, and he lives in Quebec City, and he's just finished a diploma in Milan on theorba.
Well, that goes a long way toward explaining two things. One is why you're the ensemble somewhat in residence at Millikan University. Because, Sherry, you have gone off to where now?
I'm now at Yale University. I'm living in New Haven, Connecticut. I'm doing an artist diploma at Yale. But I was also a faculty member at Millikan for 5 years, I think. And that's where we got our start. So we all found each other.
Exactly.
But you found each other in Champaign-Urbana, I think. Or, Dan, you weren't here.
Well, I've been living here for a while, but I've been based at Millikan. It was really at Millikan where Sherry and I kind of started collaborating and getting to know each other. And Matt and I have known each other for a long time, so it just slowly came together. But yeah, I think Millikan was the connection, the common thread.
But we all taught at Millikan, but lived and sang a lot in Champaign-Urbana. So we kind of have a Millikan and Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, that's why I've seen it both ways. Right. Mm-hmm. It's ensemble and residence at Millikan, but based in Champaign-Urbana, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in any event, you're in the WYLL listening area. That's the most important thing.
I'm very glad to be.
Yes. Yeah, and so we're going to be hearing you sing a little bit, and also we'll play some from this new CD called The Seasons. But the other thing that you're being sort of spread around offers some explanation of is your name, Gravitación, which comes from what?
Well, it's the Spanish word for gravitation. And when we were putting this ensemble together, we realized that we were from all different parts of the world. Our original fourth member, Pablo Cora, is from Argentina. Matthew's from New Zealand. Sherry's from India. I'm from Boston.
And you don't sound like it, Terry.
No, I don't know how I didn't get the accent. My whole family has it. But so we realized that this idea of kind of a gravitational pull of people from all different parts of the world coming together for a cause that we're really passionate about and a style of music that we're really passionate about. And I this idea of gravitation and gravitational pull, and it still continues to exist. Now, some of our members for this CD are also very international. We have, as Matthew said, one from Quebec City, and Young Mi is from Korea. So that's the idea of the name.
Well, it's a wonderful name to say, actually. particularly if you roll the R, yeah. Which I'm not terribly good at doing, so you don't have to really. But your specialty is sort of the broad area of early music, mm-hmm. But within that area, do you particularly lean towards the earliest of that time, or not necessarily?
What we like to do is create programs that are based in a certain area of early music. So our first program which became our first CD, Elements, is really kind of a tasting sampler of everything from Hildegard to William Byrd. So from the 12th century through to the end of the 16th century. We have another program called Queen and Huntress, which you're going to hear some live examples from, which is all French and English music from the late Renaissance. And then this CD, Le Stagioni, The Seasons, spans from about 1580, the music, to 1670-ish. So it's really late Renaissance, early Baroque. You could even call it mid-Baroque music, but that's as late as we have gone so far.
So far. You just discussed going farther.
We
or think have the possibilities are endless.
Endless, yeah.
Or was that the first that's come up just right now?
No.
Oh, no.
It's been discussed over many dinners.
Darn, I was hoping we had a first here on this day. Well, why don't we hear the first of your live performances before we get a little bit to the CD. And actually, Matt, before you stand up, just because I can't find my note in which I have the answer to this question, what time tonight and where?
Good question. The actual, I'm happy to say and sorry to say that the event is actually sold out as of this morning.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Too bad for the rest of us.
Right. It's at Carmen's Restaurant in downtown Champaign, 415 North Neal Street. They have their own parking. We're really excited to have it there, both because it's a great space and because it's a local business, and we're really excited to support them. The doors open at 7 o'clock, and food will start at 7:30. And then there will be standing room available. So if people, the first 10 people that show up after 7 o'clock will get in if their names aren't already on the list.
And you'll be doing some singing at that as well.
We will be singing tonight.
And it is a small space, so the first 10 probably makes it like 30 in there. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's a small space, so it'll be nice and cozy. Leave your coats at home. It'll be warm. Okay, so what shall the tune be? You can talk from over at the other space if you want.
Thank you. This piece is by Jacotin. We don't know his
first name. We think it might be Jacob, and that his French name became Jacotin from that, but he might be an English man called Jacob Godbury. We're going to sing two pieces by him today. This is the first of them, Dame d'Honneur. The translation is roughly, Lady of Honor, Princess of Beauty, who is never disloyal to me. If it pleases you, help me, otherwise I must die.
Dame, dame, princesse de beauté, si vous jamais haine fidèle et haute, il vous plaira plus
understand why, Matt, when you mentioned that you would do a couple of these songs, that it would be a wee trio, because I liked that particular term. And are we going straight on to the next one?
If you'd like, or we can wait.
Well, go right ahead.
Okay. Right. Second piece by the same composer, Deuil double deuil, which means mourning doubles mourning within me and aids my injury. Sadness trouble the enemies of pleasure. And because I'm languishing, I look for, I want solitude. And seeing the evil visions of my future bitterness, I know I will not be given any pleasure in this life.
These are really uplifting songs.
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They liked melancholy in the Renaissance.
Yeah, I gather.
There was pleasure and sadness.
Well, the music sounded more on the pleasurable side.
It's an interesting dichotomy indeed.
No.
Beautiful. Two songs by, again?
Jacotin.
That's just one word. Is this just, you know?
Just one name.
Like just Cher. Like they do anymore.
Just
know?
Like
Midori
Cher.
And, yeah, Cher and, yeah, and so on. Sung by three members, the original three members. So you guys have done much for Trio of the group called Gravitacion, who are giving a CD release party and mini performance tonight at, you know, I already forgot what you said, 6:30 doors open?
Doors like open at 7.
7. And you may or may not be able to get in, but it's maybe worth a try, as you just heard, because I thought that was just splendid, wonderfully in tune singing and very free at the end. And I, having, as somebody who has a little of my own vocal trouble, I'm envious of just being able to sustain with that sort of free sound and it, yeah, really nice.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And their CD is called Le Stagioni, The Seasons, and it is their second for First Step Records, based at Millikan University in Decatur. Sherazad Pantaki, the soprano, their absent person for the purposes of this event and the party tonight, countertenor Jay Carter, tenor Daniel Carberg, and baritone Matthew Lease. Who are in, well, Sherry off now in Connecticut at Yale, and both of the other guys in our, still in our listening area. Sherry, I've heard until this moment, I think I've heard you exclusively in a solo role, where I imagine you have a very different approach to singing. I assumed that you would blend well because otherwise you couldn't be in a group like this.
But thank you.
You also were singing, at least with those two songs, a little lower register you often show off in your solo performances. What are some of the differences in thinking that you have to use?
That's a really great question. I try to approach all singing from a very healthy vocal standpoint. I'm not one of those people that believe that early music should purely be sung with a straight tone and that it has to be manufactured or compressed in some way in order to be in tune. So I really do approach both the solo singing, the singing with symphony orchestras, and this kind of collaborative singing in the same way. That being said, I think technique-wise, they are a little bit different. First, in terms of sheer volume, I mean, one sings differently when projecting above an orchestra than when one is in a small chamber group. And the placement of the sound is just a little bit different in the voice, at least in my voice, when I'm singing with a group like this. It's what I call a little more of head placement, a lighter sound. I wouldn't say airy, but lighter in timbre, more flute-like, more sort of going towards the upper resonance. Whereas when I'm singing with an orchestra, when I'm singing as a soloist, the sound is just a little bit deeper in my body. I still feel it in a very healthy way. It's just a little different.
Yeah, and what about, I don't know how much solo singing the other of the two of you do, Matt, Dan?
We do a fair amount of solo singing.
Yeah, we both do.
It's probably pretty much equally divided between solo and ensemble singing.
But is it mostly in the earlier music realm?
It's
what you do.
I do a fair amount of early music, but I also do a lot of Schubert and Lieder, 20th century music. So it's not limited to early music. But that's I realized when I was in my undergrad that I was probably not going to have a Wagnerian type of voice, and so I was finding the right type of repertoire to suit my solo voice.
And I have a similar story, actually. I think especially when, no, it's probably the same for women, I imagine, Sherry, but being a man with a lighter timbre voice to begin with, I've discovered pretty quickly in my undergrad degree that I probably was not going to be singing at the Met, no matter how good I got, just because of the size of my instrument. So I started looking for alternative repertoire, outside of the box. And I have sung a lot of solo music in the early repertoire, but as I'm getting older, as more color is developing in my voice, I'm kind of getting back to some more standard repertoire. I'm singing a Bellini opera in August, and I've just recorded a CD of modern New Zealand music as well, for example.
Okay, well, I was going to go somewhere else with this line of questioning, but now you just piqued my interest about modern New Zealand music. What does that mean in this context?
This collaboration was a project with the head of composition at my alma mater, Otago University in Dunedin, New Zealand. His name is Anthony Ritchie, and he's one of the foremost composers of vocal music in New Zealand. He also writes excellent symphonies. And he asked my sister and I, my younger sister is a well-known singer in Europe, and he asked us if we would make a disc of his songs. So we worked on that for a while and pressed the disc in Dunedin, and it's very tuneful modern music, but with some really difficult rhythm and things like that, but not, it's not atonal.
But it's still in the realm, for lack of a better term, of classical music.
I would say that, yeah, post-romantic is the way I would describe it.
Well, I didn't know when you said New Zealand songs if this was going to be a sort of a Kiri Te Kanawa type crossover where she, you know,
right,
gets into some sort of pop music or something like that.
I haven't been paid to sing pop music before in my life. I do like to sing some Māori songs as encores in programs if I do that.
Which she has also done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And beautifully.
Yeah. We're going back to the line of questioning I was originally going to follow until you piqued my interest there, just about the recognition of voice type, which, of course, anybody who sings and wants to sing professionally at some point has to recognize. At what point, if there is a typical answer, does one discover that, if one is being honest?
I think for some people it's obvious right from the beginning. There are some sopranos that just always sound like sopranos. There are some tenors that just always sound like tenors. Same with basses. But there are what we call tweeners. There are a lot of people who kind of fit in between different voice types. And it really, I think it depends on the size of your voice. Usually the bigger your voice, the longer it takes to mature. And so sometimes people go through different voice types throughout their career. Someone might go from being a soprano to a mezzo in the course of their career. For me, it was very, I studied as a baritone for my bachelor's and my master's, and it wasn't until my doctorate that I studied as a tenor. And it's still, I still consider myself a tweener because I have the range of a baritone and the timbre of a tenor. So I don't have an easy answer for that because I that's something that I kind of have to forge my own way and figure out how to make that work.
And a similar answer, I assume, to not only what voice range you sing, but also size of voice, what sort of music you'll be suited for.
Exactly, yeah.
Probably.
Right.
And I do think that develops as well as one's musical life goes on. A lot of people get to sort of sing heavier music as their voices grow. Because, I mean, I personally feel like my voice grows every day. I don't think it stopped growing. I feel like there are always changes. There's always somewhere to go. And I think as one gets into one's 30s and 40s, the voice is still growing in that sense, and especially if you're training it, and you know, if you're really paying attention to it. So I think that can change, but as Dan said, for some people it's clear quite early. I don't think I was ever in doubt that I was a soprano. That was that was clear, I think, by the time I was 14. But perhaps it's a little bit easier with women's voices to figure that out. But I think it just depends on the person.
But women and men do tend to have a different general maturity level, age for the voice, where women may know a little sooner,
women
may
have
reach the size it's going to be.
Sorry, excuse me. Women have the benefit of growing up with the instrument that they're going to sing with professionally, whereas men get a new instrument at about age 14 to 16 that they then have to catch up. And so that's why a lot of men struggle through their 20s to work out what their voice part is.
Well, and you will often hear, for example, guys in college, early years in college, who still speak with a much lighter, more like a boy's voice, or an older boy, teenage boy's voice, and then you'll find by the time they finish college, maybe they'll suddenly start speaking like a man, for lack of a better term. The one voice in the famous operatic world that I think of as having trained early as one type and being very famous as another was Plácido Domingo, who I understand was a baritone for some time, and of course now one of the world's most famous tenors, but he still has that baritonal quality where you were talking, Dan, where you have, I think you said the voice quality of a tenor, meaning a little...
The timbre, yeah.
Yeah, the timbre.
Brighter,
lighter, sounding like it's going to be higher. I've been accused of having the same thing, which I don't really mean as an accusation, except that people will assume I'm a tenor and therefore I should have the high notes.
Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, it absolutely doesn't happen. The members of Gravitacion with us on Live and Local today are Sherazad Pantakis, soprano, tenor / baritone, Daniel Carberg, and baritone.
Straight out.
Matthew Lees. And that generally means you don't have the really low notes to be a bass.
Right.
Yeah,
I can sing down to about an E, but I'm not a D bass.
Now, see, this is interesting because listening to one's speaking voice does not necessarily determine what your vocal voice is going to sound like. If I had to guess between Dan and Matt, I'd say listen to you speak. Matt, you're the tenor, and Dan, you're the baritone.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
And I developed my own way of determining what voice type someone really is, and that is to listen to them sneeze.
Mm. Ooh, that's interesting.
And the pitch at which you hear the voice and they sneeze.
Then I would be a soprano.
Actually, the singing portion. But, I recently found out that that doesn't always work because the person I was...
It's a very interesting theory, though.
Well, it worked until just last week when I heard somebody in any event.
Matt does sneeze in his falsetto.
Well, so now that's a whole other thing with his falsetto. Because if Jay Carter, your countertenor, were here, we'd have the whole additional topic of the countertenor, the man who sounds like a woman, you know, who sang very high. And they can be singing falsetto or not.
Right.
Right.
Richard Rossi, whom I'm sure all of you guys know.
Indeed.
Once made quite a point to me of referring to falsettists with some amount of scorn. Because he is not one. I mean, that's his voice. I mean, I think he can sing as a tenor also, but I've never heard him do it. But he also speaks, you know, that way as well. In any event, maybe we'll have him here in some time. Not just talking about his orchestra at Eastern Illinois University, where he is now. Let's hear something from the CD. Le Stagioni, The Seasons. Why is it called The Seasons first, and then what should we start with?
The Seasons came about, we wanted to tell the story of a kind of fictitious but intense relationship between two lovers. So we start in spring where, just like in nature, things are budding and the lovers meet each other and become enamored. And then in our summer set, I guess you could call it, they're enjoying their love and the weather and nature. In fall, their relationship gets a bit more complicated, and we start to have some serious issues arise. And then in our winter set, those issues are unresolvable, and our final piece ends in a sad but very philosophical way, with leaving room open for the cycle to start again, just like it is in nature.
That's a very thoughtful line of programming. Where will we start in the sequence here?
We're going to start in summer, in the heat of summer, with a really, really fun piece of music by Jacopo Peri from his opera Euridice, actually. It's called Al Canto al Ballo, To Sing and to Dance.
This is Gravitacion, and these are all five of the singers on the... CD
all five
point.
Of the singers and Theorbo.
And Theorbo, which is a very large lute. Young Mi Kim is the additional soprano, and Michel Angers, the Theorbist. Gravitacion on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Al canto al ballo
scendi a nostri diletti e con me pergoletti fendi le nubi e le ciel con l'ali d'oro.
Al canto, al ballo,
al canto, al ballo,
ballo.
Music from the disc called The Seasons, Le Stagioni, by Gravitacion, the name of the group, who are based at Millikan University, Indicator, First Step Records, just to put that out. It's not officially out yet until tonight, I guess.
Yes. That's correct.
At their CD release party and mini performance at Carmen's in downtown Champaign. If you can get in, the doors are open at 7, officially sold out, but they will let some folks in. And the members here with us in the studio, Sherazad Pantaki, soprano, tenor Daniel Carberg and baritone Matthew Lease, and the other members on that recording, Young Mi Kim, soprano, and countertenor Jay Carter, along with theorbist Michel Angers on live and local. And I know you guys have to leave pretty soon, but I wanted to ask you about your approach to the music. In your press packet, you refer to combining scholarship, passion, and humor. And the scholarship part of it certainly is in how you use your voices. And right towards the end, we heard this. I don't even technically know what you call the thing where you do the repeat of a tone.
A trillo.
As opposed to a trill.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. So what is that all about, that particular technique?
The trillo shows up officially in a treatise by Caccini from 1601 called Le Nuove Musiche. It's at the start of the birth of opera, really, coming out of this group called the Florentine Camerata, this group of people in Florence that were interested in going back to the ideals of the Greeks. And the philosophy behind some of that music, and which then transfers into some of the music that we do, is that music should follow the rhetoric of speech. And that's what they believed the Greek dramas did, that these dramas were sung, and that a lot of emphasis was put on how language was used. And so the embellishments in this early period reflect, they're meant to emphasize and ornament some kind of emotion that is being represented in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trillo shows up very much as a part of that early 17th century style. We use that in some of our pieces.
And it can be used in any kind of emotion. You can use it in a plaintive way or in a joyful way, for example.
Well, you just actually gave a pretty good indication of the first two of those three terms that I mentioned, scholarship and passion, because you learn that this, from reading that particular treatise you mentioned and others, that by studying the music, this is what they were supposed to do or what they expected people to do in their music at the time. And therefore, you can express the music passionately if you're following the text, you know, which is something that as those of us who conduct choirs, and that would be all of us probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That we try to get people to do anyway, because the more you express the words musically, the more passionate it will be, you hope.
Absolutely.
What about the humor part of it?
You just have to come to one of our rehearsals.
We laugh a lot.
Well, rehearsals. What about the performance?
And well, there's humor in our performances too. We like to include texts that include humor, but we also have a realistic approach to the idea of performance practice. That there is no such thing as being as having it sound the way that Caccini or Monteverdi heard their music. So I think humor comes into that part of it as well.
Because you make your imaginings of how it sounds like, but you may or may not be right, and you could take it somewhere else if
exactly.
you want on purpose.
So we have to be who we are primarily.
And we don't want to create something that's just going to sit on a shelf. We want to involve our audiences and please our audiences as well. So I think that's that real combination of especially the scholarship and the passion, is that we don't want to leave out the passion and just have the scholarship. But the scholarship is also very important.
Well, and you left off just playing good musicianship and good technique, which you guys are obviously using in abundance. I think it just sounds splendid, absolutely splendid.
We definitely enjoy singing together. We feel very fortunate to have found each other as collaborators in Central Illinois.
That's amazing.
Which makes it all the more challenging now that you're not all in Central Illinois.
Yeah.
I think we're at least, you know, I'm the one who's out of town now from the core group, but I definitely feel very committed to the group, and I would come back whenever possible.
Sherry goes above and beyond to make things happen.
But we have some tours in sort of in the planning stage for next year, and we have
a Midwest tour planned in January next year. And we have an East Coast tour, which we're especially excited about. It's our first East Coast tour in March of next year.
Wow. So just the fact that you're planning this far ahead says that you're soon going to be very well known, because that's what good people do, is they're booked years out. They're booked years out. Just ask baritone Nathan Gunn. Try to hire him 3 years out. Good
I
luck.
I can imagine.
Yeah, unless he just happens to be around. Well, I think before you leave, we have time to get in another song from the CD, and I'll play another couple of two after you have to go. What shall it be? Are we going to proceed in this progress of the emotional progress of the CD?
Yes. This is the first one from Fall. It's Zefiro Torna, which is the breezes returning. And it's this is one of my favorite pieces. It's by Claudio Monteverdi. And it's about nature, and everything is beautiful. The breeze is blowing. The everything is just absolutely beautiful. And then there's that sign in so many Monteverdi madrigals, ma per me, which means but for me. And so we suddenly have a very different musical section where it's very sorrowful. But for me, everything is desolate. I'm very unhappy. And then it goes back into the happy part, but the birds are singing, the animals are frolicking. And then suddenly we have a last section, Sono un deserto, I am a desert. And it's just a whole section of chain suspensions and just real angst and sorrow. So it's the real contrast of emotions in this piece.
And just to make sure we have the right track, this is track 7 on the disc?
9.
Is that right? Track 9 on the disc. Okay.
Just
letting know to Mike Pritchard, our engineer, that that's what we've got coming up next. So here we go, representing the season of autumn. Gravitacion, the name of the group here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Well, we eventually got to the correct piece of Monteverdi. We had one initially, and we just had a mix-up in which cuts we were supposed to play. So that was music by Monteverdi from representing the season of autumn on the disc called The Seasons by the Ensemble Gravitation, who are a... the core is a vocal quartet. We have the original three members, the vocal trio, with us, and for the disc, they are in fact a quintet, and theorbo, a very large lute, which Matt Lees was just saying is like 8 feet or so.
Yeah, it can be up to 8 feet tall.
Yeah, this particular one, mm-hmm. designed for opera. So I thank you very much for singing some songs for us and bringing the CD as well, and we get to keep it, so we'll hear some more. As you leave, and on other days, and hopefully we'll have you back, maybe with all four, if you can ever coordinate with your various geographic locations. Gravitación with us right now, soprano Sherazade Pantaki, tenor Daniel Carberg, Matthew Lees, baritone, and their ensemble in residence at Millikan University. This disc is brand new, and I'm sure you can buy it tonight.
Yes, or online at firststeprecords.com.
Firststeprecords.com. And if you want to try to get in tonight, the doors open at 7 at Carmen's in downtown Champaign for their CD release party. Officially sold out, but you just never know. And as you heard, it would be very much worth the wait because I think you guys are just splendid.
Thank you so much for having us.
This has been a pleasure.
It is our pleasure, absolutely. And we'll go out. What should we go out with? Just let us know.
We're going to hear O Primavera, which is Back to Spring, and this is quite a famous madrigal by Schütz.
And we'll just make sure, Mike, that this is track 3, and that is, I'm confirming that as I look at the disc. It should be track 3. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Gravitación on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Oh, Primavera. Crudel, crudel,